Welcome to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that this message will encourage you, challenge you, and inspire you to be all that you can be.
When I started this morning, I said that the reason for this is because this is about communication with each other. Loads of things, absolutely loads of things going around in my head, and I'm going to try and make sense of some of it, because what I put out on Facebook, for those of you who did see it, and those of you who didn't, well, you're now going to hear it, is the scripture that says, love your neighbour as yourself. And then I wanted to focus on where it says, as yourself. I just really look at that, and I think to myself, what does that actually mean? Love your neighbour as yourself. And I've got an idea of what I think it means, but I'm sure there's going to be other ideas of what people think it is. And what I want to do is ask you to consider that now, is to see, if you haven't already done that, think about what that scripture says. Love your neighbour as yourself, as yourself. Because I'm struggling in my own self to understand what it means to love my neighbour as me. And I believe that a lot of us, including me, need to understand who we are, so we can show other people who we are in the Lord. And as we step deeper into that, we're going to see so much more happening. I wasn't going to bring a testimony today, but I just felt it just come up, and I thought, yeah, I need to speak about what happened this week. Went out on the streets on Friday. A group of guys from a church called Radical Church in Norwich came over. Well, three guys from Radical Church. Radical Church is a church that actually goes out into Norwich, brings alcoholics, drunks into the church, and just sets them free, and then, you know, just shows them Christ. So they came over. We went out onto the streets, and just recently, I know I've shared a few things with you about healings and stuff on the streets, but it's been increasing quite a lot. And within myself, and me and Michelle was talking about this morning, it was giving me that, oh, wow, this is really amazing. This is really something that's lifting me up as a person and wanting me to desire more and more of what's going on. And I used to get this when I used to go to church. I used to sit in church and I used to listen to the preach and I used to say, oh yeah, yeah, I want that. That's right. Yeah, I need to move in that. I need to walk in that. And then time, Sunday afternoon come, I was like, yeah, that was good. Monday come, I think, that weren't bad, was it, what I heard? And Tuesday, yeah, life's good, isn't it? Well, what are we doing tomorrow? And then gradually over the week, it used to just fizzle out, and I'll get to Sunday again, and I'll be lifted again. Yeah, I've got to do this week, and it'd fizzle out. But just recently, I'm starting to see things happen on the streets and in conversations where I'm starting to get that feeling just in general life. I'm just starting to think, wow, God, you're real. The Holy Spirit's real. So on Friday, we were out. We went up to a group of people, young people playing basketball, started talking to them. One of them had already had a conversation with one of my colleagues and was sort of backing off because he knew what was coming, and he was with his peers, and he was sort of one of the one that they look up to. There's a group of girls at the far end of the basketball court drinking, you know, got the beers down. So me and this other guy went to talk to them. And eventually, one of the lads stepped forward and said, "Yeah, I've got a broken wrist. Oh, my wrist hurts. Can you heal that then?" So he's prayed for, and he's like, "Oh, can't believe it. No, it's all right. It's all right. It's fine." So that was the start. And then another girl was walking through the town, and another girl said, "You know, another teenage girl. Yeah, I've got really bad tummy ache. I can't get rid of this tummy ache." Prayed for her. It's gone. And then friends around her. No, yeah, I can't feel it, it's gone, I can't believe it. And then obviously this is followed up by the gospel, you know, one of us will stand there and talk to them about Jesus and what we believe is happening. And the one that really made me buzz was later on in the evening. We were standing on the Tuesday marketplace in town, and there was two or three groups praying for people, and other people walking past, and this lady walked past and she said, "What's going on here, what's happening?" I said, "Well, we're just praying for people." "Yeah, I know, but look, what's happening, what's going on?" I said, well, we're just here praying for people. I said, the unusual thing is for you to come over and ask me what's going on. Normally we go and ask people what's happening in their lives. I said, so obviously you need some prayer. God's speaking to you. So we prayed for her, and she was just, you know, broken in what was coming out through the Spirit. But in the meantime, a friend of mine was talking to a group of four, probably 20-year-old youngsters. And he said, oh, you know, I just want to share the gospel with you. I want to show you that God's real. Is there any of you got any pain or injury? No, thanks, mate. No, we're all right. You're all right, mate. Thanks very much. Walking back to their cars. And then my friend had actually said, have any of you got pain in your back? And he just randomly pointed his finger. And as this group of lads walked away saying, oh, no, thank you, mate. You know, we don't need any of that. One of them turned to his mate and said, you know, he pointed to me. I have actually got a bad back. So he, my friend, overheard this and called him back and said, oh, come here. Well, I just want to show you. God wants to show you that he's real. Can I pray for your back? So I'm standing sort of 10 foot away just watching and just mumbling to myself in some sort of prayer. And so he lays his hand on this guy's back. And the next thing I hear is my friend say, well, go on then, tell them exactly how you feel now. Has anything changed? Just be honest, exactly how you feel. And he went, yeah, it's gone. I've got no pain. It's gone. Well, the faces of the other three was just a picture. I mean, they were like, what? Really? No. And I just looked up at, wow. And then I got that raise up in me thinking, this is God. This is God at work. This is amazing. This is God working through someone to reveal himself to these young guys. And then say that the conversation then was for another 20 minutes or so about the gospel to two of these guys. A real blessing. So what I saw in that, and what the sense I'm feeling in myself, is this, who are we? You know, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So who am I? That's what I started to question. Who am I? What is this that's rising up? And it's encouraging me to pray more for people. It's encouraging me to give the word to someone. So I'm going to, I'm really hoping we're just going to get stunned silence for the next sort of 20 minutes or so. But I'd really love people just to tell me what they think, or what they think that what that means. What does it mean by love your neighbor as yourself? So has anybody got an idea what they think that means? Yes. Let me hand the mic. Please don't be embarrassed about the microphone. Wow. Woohoo!
Right. When a Pharisee came to Jesus and asked the question, which is the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In Jesus' teachings, our relationships with our fellow men, women, and children is inseparable from our relationship with God. Love of God and love of our neighbours are two aspects of the same calling. Jesus, speaking with his disciples, said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The question is, how do we love each other if we do not love ourselves? 1 Corinthians 13 talks to us about love. The one great need for us is in our Christian life is love, more love to God and to each other. Paul tells us that the greatest gift is love. God is love, and if God lives in us, we can truly love ourselves. Jesus accepted people as they were. He did not reject or judge. We have been accepted by God with all our faults. Therefore, with God's help, we need accept ourselves as we are. We are not perfect. We are a work in progress and need to be able to forgive ourselves as God forgives us, enabling us to love ourselves.
That's my preach finished. I wrote a load of scriptures down, and I said to Michelle, I'm hoping that these will get read out, and thank you for that, because that covered quite a few of them. And that's exactly right, isn't it? It's finding ourselves in God. Now I'm going to get a please don't take this as a slant, because I stand in this same position. It's not a condemnation of anybody as well. I'm going to go back to testimonies. And a friend of mine was talking, and he prayed for someone and they were healed. And they went home and then the pain came back. So they said, they contacted him and said, I got home and I was healed. You know, I was all right. But when I got home, the pain came back. And we've heard this a few times where people walk away from this healing and then they come back and say, oh, it's hurting again. It started to hurt again. And what God revealed to him, and I think what we should be revealing or picking up for ourselves, is the fact that there are things that block the Holy Spirit in our lives. And a lot of times it's things in our past. And we can quite easily cover them up, brush them over, or just say, I've dealt with that. I've had prayer about that. It's okay. But I believe, and he said to this person, he said, there's something else. There's something in your life. And he had a word from God, and it was forgiveness. This person needed to forgive a certain person. He said, you need to forgive that person because that's what's causing this, if you like, reoccurrence of this thing that happened. She did. She went in prayer. She forgave the person from the heart. And then she gave testimony the following week saying, the healing, I've been healed. It's gone and it hasn't come back. So there's things in our lives that we need to identify and we need to deal with, and we need to deal with them in our hearts, in our spirits, through prayer, letting them out to people around us, whatever it takes for these things to be released. And I think perhaps that there should be some prayer today at the end of this for, you know, people who want to release things. And these things are the usual things: anxiety, fear, pain, suffering, all the things that sometimes keep coming back to us time and time again, and we think we've dealt with it, but God knows our hearts. So if there's things on your heart today, take an opportunity to come up for prayer. I'm sure AJ, Michelle, and some others will pray around you. In fact, we'll probably even get to pray for each other because there's only a few of us here. There's no one here from, other than Sandra's mum, who we haven't seen before. And sorry, I don't know the young lady. But so please don't be embarrassed about who's around you. But just do what God's calling you to do. Anyway, I've gone off on one, so I apologise. So anybody else? Did anybody else look at that? Yes, Bernie, have you got something?
I just wanted to go back to that piece about loving your neighbour as you love yourself. I was talking to a young lady a while ago, and she was so upset that she wasn't getting anywhere, and she felt condemned, she felt horrible and everything else. And the words that came to me was, you need to learn to love yourself. You need to learn to love yourself before you can love anybody else, because God enables that to happen in you and through you, and it's the only way to do it. You need to love yourself first. If you don't, then you'll find a stumbling block. It doesn't stop things happening, but it will be a stumbling block, and I found that in my life, very much so. Thank you.
Definitely, yeah, and I agree. I agree completely with that. That does it. Them things. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is really quite strange, because I wanted to speak to you all, and I asked Andrew, but I didn't realise he wasn't going to be here today. I don't do Facebook, so I don't know didn't know anything about what was happening and what was going on. But however, the Lord put it on my heart at the Tuesday prayer group. Can anybody tell me, does anybody else here not know that there is a Tuesday prayer group? Because it's a great thing in this church. It's the engine room of our church. And if it wasn't for prayer, I don't think many of us would still be standing here. I have been part of this church since the very beginning. And I met Andrew and Susan probably 4 or 5 years before that, when they became part of my old church. And we started this new church, and there's quite a few of us who still go to Tuesday prayer group. And we pray every week for you all. Life has taken me quite a strange way, really. I've always believed in God, but I didn't become a born-again Christian until the late 1970s. That might seem absolutely hundreds of years to most of you, and it probably is. However, that's my walk. I was married to a dear man, I'll try to get through that, who refused to allow God into his life, and he died 2 years ago. However, I believed all the way along that he would change. And in the very last weeks of his life, I do believe that he did come to peace with the Lord. Andrew prayed over him an awful lot while I was in hospital, and it was quite amazing, the change in Les at that time. We went through quite a rough time. Life wasn't always easy. It wasn't easy for me having a non-Christian husband, but you know, we went along a very good path, and the Lord has always been there, always. And this church has always been there for me. I'm about to embark on a new start, to a new life. And it's only through God. I mean, 2 years ago, I couldn't have ever imagined that my life wouldn't have stayed as it was. I believed that when Les died, I would be part of this church forevermore. I would be on my own forevermore. And I thought that was my lot, and that's where I was going to go. And then the Lord came along, and I have a very old group of friends who I went to school with. Unfortunately, two of those girls have died. However, we decided that we were the group of us with husbands and those that are left of us would go down to Devon for to celebrate one of the girls' 70th birthday. She'd just moved to Devon. So off we went. And during that time, the Lord brought someone into my life who'd been in my life for 50 years. First time I met him was at my wedding. And his wife was my bridesmaid. And I met Ray newly again, really. And somehow the Lord brought us together. Now, I'll stop there because I was absolutely, goodness, what is happening here, Lord? I'm newly widowed. I can't take this, I can't understand what's happening. I came back from that holiday and I went straight to Andrew and Susan. And I said, look, this is what's happening in my life. I need guidance. And they guided me and we prayed. I can remember sharing it with you, Clive, as well. And the Lord has taken me on that road. Now, what I really want to say isn't about me. I don't really want to talk about me. I want to talk about how good the Lord is. Now, he has just been there for me in every moment in this last 2 years. I feel that if we put our lives and we say, right, Lord, it's over to you. I was broken. I was in pieces. I had to just give it over to the Lord. And he has been there for me in these last 2 years more than he's ever been in my life before. I don't know. I can't understand it all. But he's given me a new love, a love that's very different. It's very different for me, and it's very different for Ray, to our previous loves. Ray's wife died 5 years ago yesterday, and she is, you know, is still part of our lives. And in our relationship, there are five, actually. There's the four of us, and there's the Lord. Now, the Lord only came into Ray's life in January, so he has given his life to the Lord. Now, just to bring you up to date, I'm probably going to have, next Sunday is going to be my last Sunday in Grace Community Church because I have sold my house and I am moving. I'm moving back to my roots, which are on the Surrey Middlesex borders. Ray and I were both born on September the 23rd, I won't say the year, on the very same day and the very same place. And somehow the Lord has brought us back together again in that way. And I'm going to move down there, and then I'm going to move into a new house at some point. I don't know where yet, because that's all in the Lord's hands and he's in control. But it's been quite a difficult path because my family and my children, and I have to be very mindful of them, as does Ray be mindful of his children. And so the word marriage at this stage is a little difficult because my daughter, I don't think, she's not grieved enough. She's still very raw. And we have to be very mindful of this. We've searched the Bible, and there isn't really anything particularly in it that says it's written for people of over 70. So it's quite difficult. So, but I'm believing, and I know the Holy Spirit so well, and I feel that he's always in my life. He never lets me go, and I want this for all of you. But my one thing I really want to leave with you is that when I first started in this church, for 5 to 6 years, I was appointed prayer group leader. And Andrew and Susan, we worked it together. I then had to have a series of operations, and my husband and I were caravanning a lot, and I felt I had to step down because I didn't feel that I could give it what it all, I was away and it wasn't fair. So I stepped down. And there's never been another prayer group leader. It just stayed. But the heart of it all is prayer. And it is my one thing that I've got, that even when I couldn't be physically able to help in the church and do things in the church, I could pray. All of you can pray. And all I want to say to you is, yes, there is change. The Holy Spirit will change us. We've changed today. We've sat in a different place. Yes, as we get older, it's so uncomfortable. We don't like change. But the Holy Spirit does come and he wants us to change. Now, if I, at my age, can take a huge change in my life, you can take a change in this church. You've got to go with the Holy Spirit. We've been praying for years for him to come and to work in us in this church. And if we believe in him and this is the way he wants it, he wants change, then please, I ask you to go with it. But I do ask you, please, all of you, try and support the prayer group. Don't let it fold. In whatever way it carries on, I want you to support it, because if we don't keep that engine, that heart of the church going, it will die. And that is it's a harsh word, but I just felt the Holy Spirit put it on me on Tuesday night, and it's been burning ever since, and I had to speak it. So that is my legacy to you all. I want you to carry on praying. Can I just pray? Right. Holy Spirit, we just ask you right now, Lord, to just come right now, speak to the hearts of these people, these lovely, lovely, lovely people, Lord Jesus, and just lift them to that place where you want them to be. Not us, not man, but you, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, I just lift them all before you right now, in your most glorious name. Amen.
Just say that. If the prayer team, the guys who come to pray, Julian and a couple of the others, come up and just pray for Francis. I know there'll probably be opportunity for this next week, but if you guys who pray regularly in the prayer group can come and pray for Francis, that'd be great. Well, church is about us. Church is about you guys, okay? This is about church. This is doing church. This is talking into each other's lives, praying for each other and supporting each other. And this is what it is about: finding yourself, finding who you are in Christ. And I'm really, really excited. I don't want to show that, but I'm really excited that we can share like this and we can be part of people talk about a family, but I don't really see it as that. I just think it's the body. You know, the Bible says it's the body, isn't it? Every part is important. Every part is needed. And you all have a purpose. It's easy, easy, easy to come here on a Sunday, sit, listen, do, and walk away. But I believe each one of you has a purpose in this place. So we need to step out in that. You know, Andrew's talked briefly about, I'm sure he won't mind me saying too much, that he knows that he's a pastor. Andrew's heart is a pastoral heart. He needs to be able to come to you guys, look after you guys. But there is a space up here. there's a space up here for someone who can share the word. And I don't believe it's me. So there's giftings in this church. You've all got giftings. So be confident and step out in them. Talk. Come and pray. You know, Francis is so right. Prayer is absolutely crucial. You know, we put this up just so there's a space where we can pray rather than going into the shoe cupboard or into a tiny electrical cupboard. You know, before the church starts, get behind there. Pray to yourself. Grab someone with you. Go and pray, because prayer is what changes things. You know, when we get on our knees, that's what changes the situations. That's what makes a difference in what we do and what happens in this place. And I love it that there's not many people here, because God wants to speak to the people, you know, individually. He wants to speak into your hearts, and he wants to say, be confident in what he's got for you. I've completely gone off track. Has anybody else got anything on that? Yes, Michelle.
So, I've just been thinking about loving yourself, and you know, God's love for us is unconditional. And as Bernie said, our love for our children are unconditional. You know, they're naughty and they mess up, but we don't put them out of the house. We just love them anyway. But we're not that with ourselves. You know, it's sometimes hard to love yourself unconditionally, because we get harder on ourselves and don't always like to make mistakes. And then, you know, so loving ourselves is so important, and loving ourselves unconditionally, and we need an understanding of God's love, and then we can love our neighbors in a proper way. And you know, I grew up saying that I'm God's favorite child, because when good things happen, I just go, yeah, because I'm God's favorite child. And you know, each one of us can say that. And yeah, so I just want to share that, you know, you are God's favorite child. And when good things happen, it's because of that. And when things are not so good, we go to him and we receive that love, and we can then give it. Where is Wally? No, I read once by you know, a Christian author. He said, I've never actually seen these books, but they are Where is Wally? Yes, where's Wally? And apparently, you will find Wally on every page, but sometimes you've got to really look for him. And they said, and you know, and Jesus, God is like that. So every day and in every situation, we will find him if we look for him. And you know, sometimes if God feels far away, and sometimes you look back, it's harder when you kind of, you know, 2 years down the line, you try to look back. God, where were you? Where were you? It's easier to find him on the current page. And yeah, so just encourage you to find him and find his love.
Yeah, I think that sort of sums up as well what I wanted to say, was the fact that we were talking about another scripture this morning, and it's the scripture that says, with unveiled faces, and then it goes on, so do we move from glory to glory. And it's the turning to God in all things. And I know there'll be people in here who have issues, and they've gone to God, and it's not been resolved, and it comes back, and it haunts them again, and they try again. But all I can say is just keep turning to God, because as that veil is removed or torn, as Jesus tore it for us, then we can walk in to that glory that then increases from glory to glory. We can change from what we are into what God's got for us. And we are all a work in progress. We do all need to move and change with what God's got for us. You know, I'll say again, if we come into church and we're comfortable, we need to pray about that. Because it's not a position we need to be in. We don't need to be in a comfortable position. We need to know where we're going with Christ and step forward with Christ in what he's got for us. So I've done nothing of what I prepared, which is great, because then, you know, I want to just thank you guys for involvement. Does anybody else want to bring any more revelation on that or talk about that in any way? Chris, what have you got?
Holiday. Okay. Today.
When was that?
My day is going to have a way.
next week? Right, and are you going to find the Lord when you go away? Are you going to pray? Good. Exactly right. When we're on holiday, we don't leave God behind. We take God with us, don't we? Yeah, thank you for that. Okay, bless you guys. AJ, go on, Ben. Yeah, no, you carry on.
Keeps coming back. And it's what Andrew said the other day, or week, when I can't remember exactly when. But when you are in a situation and you don't know which way to turn, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all his answers will be given to you. Amen.
Amen. I've just got one more thing which reminded me what Francis said. Michelle said to me, don't just get up there and speak after them because you think you need to say something. But Frances said something, and it just reminded me. What she said was that she was in a position where she thought she would be in this church permanently, that she wouldn't have a new partner and stuff like that. And it just reminded me of the time that when I was in a friendship with Michelle. That's as far as we can go, because that's all it was, a friendship. And I had to come to that point in time where I said to God, and I might have said this before, I had to say, I cannot do this anymore, God. It's up to you. Previously, I'd said, oh, yes, God, thank you for this and thank you for that and everything's going well. But it got to a point where I'd say, God, I cannot do this anymore. I am here. I am yours and your will be done. And I think probably you was in almost a situation where you said, this is my life and this is where I'm going to be. And then God steps in because your heart, your spirit, your soul is relying on God. And I've seen this over the last few years where people have been taken to that point. Some step away from it and try and resolve. And even, I think, Chet, with your testimony slightly, you moved and tried to resolve these things. And it wasn't until you come to that point in your life where you say, that's it, God, I can't do it. I can't. This is too much for me. And that's when God will step in. Sometimes that point is very, very hard to get to. And it's very hard to stay there and wait on the Lord. But that's what he wants from you guys, because that's when he's going to move you. And that's when he's going to suddenly say, here we go, come with me. So, yeah.
A very quick one. First seek the kingdom and your righteousness and all this will be given to you. I've heard that scripture quite a lot. And this week it came to me that, yes, I am seeking the kingdom of God. A lot of times what we do is that we seek the kingdom of God and something else. So this week it came to me that drop those other things, drop the and just focus on the kingdom of God.
I think that sometimes, as Clive was saying, sometimes we come do the same old things in the same old ways. And that's perfectly fine in all kinds of ways, but sometimes doing things differently, it stops us, it challenges us and makes us think. At the end of the day, it's not about following the same routine. It's about God working in us and through us. It's about him ministering to us here and us ministering to each other in his power and in his strength. So it's been a good morning. This last song that I've prepared, we very often do it as a preparation to worship because there's a line in it that goes, your love makes me sing. But I thought it'd be good to do it as a final one this evening because obviously as we come up to the end of our meeting, we go out into the world, whatever situations we're going to face. We need to know God's love with us, underpinning us, undergirding us, strengthening us, empowering us. We need to know the love of God making us sing in all our circumstances too, don't we? Shall we stand?
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Ministry of Grace. We trust that you have been inspired, and our prayer is that you will be blessed, that you may be a blessing to those around you.